sees God
at work in their life and declares what He does for them on their behalf, it becomes a very powerful means by which God can communicate with His people. The testimony which we give is based upon the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, we could not testify to the power of a risen Savior. The Word of God is the source of the truth. As one accepts the Word of the living God, one becomes a means by which God communicates the truth. God's desire is to communicate the truth through human instruments. Because only can the power of God be seen when it's communicated in that way. Yes, nature testifies of God. Creation testifies of God. But the greatest testimony by which God can be glorified is through a human being who has given their life into His hands. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," how many? "No one comes to the Father except through me." Thank you. I had a previous experience with the cup up there. I'm just going to set it down. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is only one way by which we can have salvation. Only one way. It is through Christ. We cannot attain it on our own. We cannot attain it by our works. We cannot attain it in any way except through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of the truth. He's the ground for the truth. He's the foundation of the truth. He is the truth. And only as I accept Jesus Christ into my life on a daily, regular basis can I know the truth and can the truth set me free. In God's church from the beginning of time, there has been two classes of worshipers. There has been the class which tries to attain salvation on their own, and there has been the class which understands that salvation can only be attained through Christ. But the two classes have always been there. They've been there from the fall, and they'll be there until the second coming. Cain and Abel. The children of who? Adam and Eve. One child trying to attain salvation his way. Cain. The other child understanding that salvation can come only through Christ. Abel. Two classes. Both called to worship the one and true God. Were they not? Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And read verses 1 to 5. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Two children, both being brought up to serve one God, the true and the living God, the only source of truth. Abel, who was the younger, was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Bible says, the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain became very angry. The Bible says his countenance fell. Two children, both brought up to serve one God, the true and living God, the only God, the ground and source and foundation of the truth. Cain, the eldest, brought an offering, did he not? Abel, the youngest, he brought an offering, did he not? They both brought an offering. Both built an altar. Both professed to worship and serve the same God. But one wanted salvation on his terms, and his terms were by his own works apart from Christ. The other understood that everything had its foundation in Christ. The slain animal pointed to who? Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Cain brought his offering, he made no confession of sin. He acknowledged no need of mercy. When Abel brought his offering, he brought it as a sinner. He brought it confessing himself lost with no hope of salvation. And he brought it understanding that his only hope was in and through Christ. Cain wanted salvation on his terms. Abel accepted salvation on God's terms. Salvation is not according to the way we want it to be. It's by accepting the way God has said it is. And one obtains salvation by accepting the way God says it is, not by trying to attain it the way they want it to be. The Bible continues, it says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be what? Accepted. If we accept salvation on God's terms and act according to his will and purpose, will we not be accepted? have to worry about it when you do it God's way? Do you have to question your salvation when you do it God's way? Do you have to doubt that you're saved in the here and now when you do it God's way? No. When you do it God's way, when you accept it on God's terms, you have no worry. You have no fear. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Cain said, "I do not know." He had just been out in the field, and what had he done? He killed him, and when the Lord confronted him, "Where was Abel, his brother?" he says, "I do not know." Then he says to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain lied, did he not? Who'd he lie to? He lied to God. By lying to God, he tried to justify his own way. God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. What is the natural progression of trying to obtain salvation on our terms? What is the natural progression? We do it our way, which is the wrong way. We will become angry because our way is not an acceptable way to God. We will destroy those who are around us who are doing it God's way. And we will lie to our Creator, thereby justifying what we have done is right." Two worshipers. One Cain wanting it his way, one Abel desiring only to do it God's way. Which class do you belong to? It's interesting to note that through the whole Old Testament, the two classes remained in the church, did they not? When we come to the time of Jesus, do we not find the same two classes in the church? Luke chapter 18, the two classes are still there. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Jesus here speaks a parable. The Bible says he's speaking specifically, the Bible says, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Who'd they trust in? Themselves, that they were righteous. They were not declared righteous by God, but they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And then the Bible says, and despised others. Do you know that if you trust in yourself that you are righteous, that the natural result of that is that you will despise anyone else who doesn't think like you do? You destroy others by your own opinion of your sanctity and holiness. Jesus Christ was the righteous Savior of the world. His righteousness was given to him by his Father. It was not his own inherent righteousness. Because Jesus did not despise anyone. Jesus came, the Bible says, to seek and to save those which were what? Those which were lost. Then Jesus speaks this parable. Verse 10, he says, how many men? Two men. Same thing as Cain and Abel, two men. What had transpired right after sin entered our world was still going on among God's chosen people. Two men went up to the temple to pray. What did they go up to do? Pray. They are two distinct individuals thinking that they serve the one and only true God. They went to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Pharisee stood. Why did he stand? Because he wouldn't kneel down. He stood because he thought he was pretty good. He stood because he thought he was fairly righteous. He stood because he thought he was better than everyone else. So he stood. But you know, he prayed, the Bible says, with himself. Why? Because no one else wanted to be around the guy. He was too righteous. So the only thing that he could do is pray with himself. This is what he said. God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector, God, I thank you like I'm not like any of them, because they're wicked and I'm righteous. Not only do I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like any of them, but look what I do. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the tax collector, he stood afar off. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then Jesus concludes by saying this, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Still two classes of worshipers in the time of Christ. One seeking salvation on their terms. Trusting in themselves that they are righteous and despising everyone else. The other realizing that their only hope is in Christ. God be merciful to who? To me. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Do those two classes exist in God's church today? They not only exist in God's church, they exist in every church. Two classes. One class still trying to have salvation on their terms. still trying to dictate to God the way it should be. The other class, understanding that their only hope is in and through Christ. There is no other way. It's interesting to note when Jesus comes again, these two classes are completely distinct. And it's interesting to note the way they respond when Christ comes in the clouds of heaven. The first class, this is what they'll say. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? The Bible says Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This group, they did many things for God, thinking that that would reward them with salvation which comes from God. But Jesus says, I never knew you. What he's saying is it doesn't matter what you do for God. That doesn't matter. That merits nothing in the eyes of God. What matters is that Jesus Christ is living in and through you, doing his work on his own behalf. We cannot work our way to heaven. We can only accept Christ on a daily basis, ask him to do his will in our lives, and to bring us into conformity to his will. And then he grants us the reward. Why? Because we haven't done it on our own, but Christ has been in it from the beginning, right through until the end. He's been the center of our attention. He's been the focus of our thoughts and desires. He is our all in all. He is the best. He is the closest. He is the most admired. He is the one desired. He is everything. He consumes us. Our focus is not on what we must do to get salvation, but it is on Jesus Christ who can live through us and enable us to do his will and reward us with salvation. Now there's the other class. How do they respond when Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of heaven? It's interesting to note what the other class will say. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Notice the answer of the righteous. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger take you in? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Why are the righteous responding like that? Because the focus of their desires was not on what they did. It was Jesus Christ who enabled them to do. We must be consumed with the Christ who grants us salvation, but also enable us to do what he's called us to do. It is no longer we who live, but Christ lives where? In us. So, we must do what God requires us to do, but it is not us who do it. It is Christ who lives in us, enabling us to do. I want to be among the righteous when Jesus comes. How about you? I don't want to be among the group who dictates to God what I've done on his behalf. I want to be among that group who is consumed with Christ. Among that group who is not aware of what they do because they're consumed with Christ. And they do it naturally as if they were doing it themselves. I love this quote. It's found in Desire of Ages, page 668. It says, all true obedience comes from the heart. It was heart work with Christ. If we consent, he will so identify himself with our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity to his will, that when obeying him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. That's the kind of salvation I want. I don't want to think about what I have to do or what I have to say. I want to spend time with my Creator. I want to spend a thoughtful hour each day meditating upon the life of Christ. I want the Word of God to become part of my mind and my heart. I want to be consumed with Christ. That when obeying him, I will be doing it by what? By impulse. Wouldn't that be great? To do God's will by impulse, because it's not you doing it, it's Christ living in you. You don't have to think about what you have to say. You don't have to think about what you need to do. You don't have to think about, in this situation, how can I best represent my Creator? You do it by impulse. You do it naturally. You do it because Christ is in you, doing it through you. That's the salvation that I seek and desire. And that's the salvation which God can grant. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. The Bible says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. Well, you know, both classes of people in the days of Christ searched the Word of God. Did they not? You think the Pharisees search the Word of God? You think that tax collector searched the Word of God? One sought it because they thought that they'd get eternal life through a knowledge of it. The other sought it because through the knowledge of it, they found Jesus Christ. They saw Jesus in every page of the Bible. They saw Jesus in every word of God. Verse 40, Jesus declared to those who were seeking salvation on their own, you are not willing to come to me
that you may have life. Why? Because life comes only through who? Only through Christ. No other way. Only through Christ.
I'm going to conclude by reading Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How are we to run? Looking unto Jesus. Because if you're running the race apart from Christ, you'll never hit the finish line. You're going to fall off the path. The only way to run the race from beginning to end is through Christ. He's the only one who can enable you to get to the end. Why? Because he's with you all the way along the path. Run the race, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is where? He's at the right hand of God. He ran the race to completion. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He died for our salvation. He rose for our salvation. And today he sits at the right hand of God, calling you and I to run the race which he has already run. Not only to run it, but that he wants to be there from the beginning to the end. Salvation on God's terms, not on your own. Salvation by accepting Christ at the start, by remaining in Christ through it all. And when it's all said and done, by receiving from Christ the reward for those who have remained faithful through it all. May God bless you and I to be among the proper group. The group who understands that, yes, we must be obedient, but at the same time, the group who understands that all true obedience comes from the heart. By accepting Jesus Christ into the life on a daily basis. May God bless us to this end. Amen.